Am I on? Very good. Okay. I'm going to begin with singing Happy Birthday to you, Happy Birthday to me, Happy Birthday to everybody, Happy Birthday to you. Now, do you know why I sang that? Today in Jerusalem, they will blow the shofar 100 times. Because this is a very, very special day. And most of the church doesn't even realize it. Okay? Let me see if I can do it. Now, I don't have a birthday cake, but I have this. Okay? And this is the next best thing. Because today is Pentecost. This is the day that the church was born. This is our birthday today. 1,989 years ago today, on this very day, which was the first day of the week, Sunday, the church was born. That's the reason we worship on Sunday. Now, Sunday is not in your Bible. Okay, that was a word that came into being by Pope Gregory some 1,000 years later. The first day of the week is what it's called, okay? And there's a whole lot of proof, okay? And I'm going to give you that today of why that is, okay? Now, Pentecost came 50 days later after the resurrection of Christ. Most people don't realize it, but actually, Pentecost ends that whole section of four feast days. It ended on Pentecost. And that's what we're going to look at today. Okay? Oh, by the way, anybody like to try this? Come on up. Come on up. If you're a trumpet player, I put a trumpet thing on there. You can probably do that pretty good. That's pretty good. Go ahead, do it again. Very good. 100 times. Very good, very good. Okay. Anybody else? Are you brave enough to try it? Anybody? Come on, we're having fun today. This is a good day. Did you know that in Jerusalem today, there will be devout Jews from all over the world who will come to Jerusalem today to celebrate this day? This is a great day of celebration. They will dance and sing and praise God in the street. It is the most joyous day of the year for the Hebrews, for the Jews, because this is Pentecost. Pentecost is the final day of the crops being brought in, okay? This is the spring harvest. And there are two things that are being harvested, okay? The first harvest lasted about the first 25 days, and that was barley. The second harvest is wheat. And so it ends on Passover, is the last day, and so they come to celebrate the feast period that comes on that day. But for us, the church, it's a different story, okay? We come, we worship, we should be worshiping this day ourselves because it is the birth day of the church. So that's the reason I sang Happy Birthday to you, okay? We're going to look at this because Luke is the only one that records what happened on that day. And so we're going to look at Luke. But we're going to look at a little different passage, okay? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke, the 24th chapter, which is the very last book in Luke. And we're going to read beginning with the 44th verse. Now, this is the very last day that Christ was on earth. And he's going to talk about that. So he's going to give him some instruction of what they are supposed to do. And so we're going to pick it up, and let's stand as we read, please, and give honor to God's word. We're going to read verse 44 through the end of Luke 24. Everybody have that? 44. Beginning at verse 44, 24, 44. Everybody have it? Okay. And he said unto them, this is Christ speaking now, mine has red letters, and this is going to be written in red. These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, and all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to raise, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's our mission. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry you in the day of in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You may be seated. Father, I ask that you just really be with us today, that you open our minds to what you have for us. I pray that you would eliminate me from the whole process, and it would be your spirit, it would speak to the people. And so guide and direct, and everything that's said from this moment on, I ask it in your precious and wonderful name. Amen. We're going to look back now and see what these verses are saying, okay? This is the day that Jesus ascended up into heaven, okay? This is the very last day that he was on earth after his resurrection. For 40 days now, he's been there showing himself on occasion. But on this very occasion, he's giving some very, very good words. The first thing I want you to look at is he says, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. That's what they call today the Tanakh. There's three parts in the Tanakh. There's the law of Moses, which is, they always translate a law, but it's actually Torah, okay? So they take the first two letters of each of those three sections and come up with the word Tanakh, and that's the Old Testament, okay? So the Old Testament is in three sections. Now, did you know, had you thought about our Bible? Our Bible has how many books? Okay, but there's only four sections. There's the life of Christ, okay, which is the four Gospels. Then there is Acts, that's the second part of your Bible. And then there's letters, okay, which is the third part of your Bible. And the last part of your Bible, can you guess what it is? It's the book of Revelation, okay? So there's four parts. Now, if you take the three parts of the Old Testament and the four parts of the New Testament, you have how many? Three and four is what? Seven. And seven is the complete number. God knew what he was doing when he put together this Bible. This whole thing, from the beginning to the end, is God's Word. Amen. That's his Word, okay? And that's what we're looking at today, and you need to understand it. Now, I hadn't thought about it until I got to looking at this message. But what was the day that God began creation? Come on. It was the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Did you know that God created light on the first day? And that day was Sunday, the first day of the week. Okay? And the church was created on Sunday, the first day of the week. So God begins His creation on the first day of the week. It's kind of neat, and I hadn't thought about that until I got to looking at this message today. So anyway, here's what we're told in Luke here. We're told that thus it is written, and thus behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, there's two different ideas, okay? Christ says, what? I will be in the grave, what? 3 days and three nights, okay? Now, what you need to understand is that there were two time periods that were being used in Jerusalem on Passover, okay? The northern people up north used the time period morning to morning. It's the first day, okay? But the people down south used the same time period of 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock in the evening. You follow the difference? You see the difference? You grasp that? It's kind of hard to grasp, okay? Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you, okay? Now, Jesus down south, it's the book of John, was using Jewish time and the southern Jewish time. They're both Jewish times, but the southern Jewish time. And so he has Christ going in the grave just before sundown, which is Saturday, okay? And so he's in the grave Friday night for just a few little bit, part of a day. Then he's in the grave Saturday all day, and he rises when? On Sunday, the first day of the week, okay? Now, that's another feast period, okay? That's first fruits. He is the first fruit. He's the first one to ever be resurrected, okay? So here we have then 3 days being represented, which is the third day of Passover. And that's what he's talking about. On the third day of Passover, Christ will rise. Now, if you use the other time period, okay, then he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, if you follow that, how that sequence runs. And so both of those passages of Scripture are correct. Okay, so here we go. He says, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Wait a minute. You mean now he's supposed to be preached to the Gentiles? Absolutely. He gave them this mission right here. That's us. That's the church. There's only two people in the world, okay? There's the Gentile nations, and there's Israel. That's all. And so, who are we to preach to? All the complete word. The whole world is to be preached what? What did he say? Two words. Two very important words. What are they? Repentance. What does repentance mean? Doesn't mean being sorry. Okay, that isn't what it means. It means to change your direction, to change your mind first, and then to change your whole life, okay? That means you're going in the wrong direction without Christ. So when you accept Christ, you turn around and go the right direction. That's what it's all about. Then it says remission. What's remission? Forgiveness. Forgiveness of your sins. That's what it's all about. So that's the gospel, okay? And he gave that here to the disciples right here, okay? And so that's what he said. And ye are witness of these things. And behold, I send this promise of the Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, what's that? That's the coming of the Holy Spirit. Nobody in the Old Testament had the filling of the Holy Spirit. It did not indwell people. It was only put on people temporarily for power. Okay? But we have it on the day of Pentecost. We have it in us forever. It's here. It's not going to leave. It's always there with you. And so this is a very, very important day. Okay? On that day, we are told what? Peter got up and gave a message, and 3,000 souls were saved. Okay? Now, who were they? They were from 11 different countries. These were devout Jews, or people who were Gentiles who converted to Judaism. Okay? There was the whole city was full of them. Okay? This was Pentecost. They were all required to come one day on this, either this day. There were 3 days they could come. So there were hundreds and hundreds of men from all over the country that were coming to Israel this day. And they heard Peter, some of them at least, who all was there, they heard Peter preach, and 3,000 of them were saved. Okay? And so that's a very important day, big day in Israel. And this is the day that we've been talking about. Now, because everybody there were Jews, okay, and because most of the people, well, all the writers were Jewish, okay, so the Bible is going to tell us, or don't tell us, what was going on in the temple. We need to understand what was going on in the temple in order to connect all this together. And so I'm going to give you some information, okay? This is probably some that you hadn't ever heard of. Now, you know some of it. You know, this represents barley. I don't have any barley, but this represents barley. Now, what you don't know is the high priest and 7 members of the Sanhedrin on the 14th day of Nisan. What's that? That's the day Christ died. Okay, that's when Christ died. He died at 3:00 on the 14th day of Nisan. That's the first day of Passover. Okay, so what they did is they went out and looked all through the barley field until they found the very first ripe. They tied a scarlet ribbon around it, and that is going to be the one that represents Christ, okay? They also kept searching until they found 7 bundles of 7, okay? Now, 7 bundles of 7 is how many? And 1 is what? Okay, so here's what they do. They take these then on the 14th day of Nisan, and they put them in a little niche in going into the temple, okay? On the 15th day, which was the next day, they gathered all of these up, took them and stuck them under the curtain into the Holy of Holies. So here these are in the Holy of Holies sticking out. So on the next day, which is what? First fruits, that's Sunday. They go and get this one. It has a scarlet ribbon on it. They go and get this one, okay, and wave it before the Lord. That represents the first one ever resurrected, and that's Christ. Okay, he's the first. Now, a lot of things happened on that day, and I'm not going to get into all of that. Okay, but that was the first day. They now took this, and they put it in the niche again so that people know that that has been waved. Now, this is called the counting of the Omer. Well, okay, so the next day, which was Monday, they would go and untie one bundle and pull out one more. That's the second day of the counting of the Omer. They took and put it in the niche. The third day, they took another one out until all 49 were taken, and that signaled to the people that it was Passover. Now, I'm sorry, Pentecost, because all 50 of these were taken and put so that people could see them in the niche in the temple, okay? That signaled Passover, or Pentecost, okay? It was the 50th day. But here's what you don't know, okay? That represents the fulfillment of two harvests, okay? The barley harvest and the wheat harvest. So what the high priest did, okay, was he took and made two loaves of bread, one of barley and one of wheat. And now he takes them up and waves them before the Lord. But you know what? They're not unleavened bread. They are leavened bread, okay? And you know why they have leaven in them? Because they represent the two harvests that's going to happen. The harvest of the Jews is represented by the barley. The harvest of the wheat is representing us, the Gentile nations. So there's going to be the two harvests is represented by the two loaves that are waved on Pentecost, okay? Because that represents us who are going to be resurrected too with Christ. And so Pentecost is a great day for us to celebrate. Now, I'm going to ask a question. What is the proper day for us to worship God? Sunday, right? We say, okay, for the Jews, it's Saturday. But I'm going to tell you, it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There is no proper day to celebrate or to worship the Lord. Okay? We should worship the Lord every day. Now, my son-in-law gave me, what is worship? Boy, there's so many books out there telling you, you just tons of what worship is. My son-in-law, last Sunday, we were at his church, and gave me what I think is the best definition that I have ever heard. And it's modern, and it's crazy. Okay? You know what he says? Hanging out with the Lord. That's what worship is, hanging out with the Lord. Now, isn't that right? Hanging out with the Lord. How do we hang out with the Lord? We do it in two ways. What? You got to have that Bible, okay? You got to spend time in the Word and time talking to Him, which is what? Prayer. That's hanging out with the Lord. Every day, we should hang out with the Lord. Now, do I always do it? No, absolutely not. I wish I could say I did, but I don't. And I'm ashamed of that, okay? I'll admit that to you. But that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to hang out with the Lord every day. So we should set a little time apart in our life, in our busy life, to have nothing but a good time with the Lord. That's what He wants. That's how He designed the whole thing from the very beginning. That's what He wants from the Jews. That's what He wants from the church, okay? Just some time hanging out with the Lord, letting Him tell you, talk to you, and you talking to Him. So spend some time hanging out with the Lord. Thank you for listening to this old man. And I hope you at least got something out of it today. Thank you. Thank you. I'll turn it over to you.
If you'll come, our musician, we'll have time for invitation. Most important decision that you'll ever make in your life is what you do with Jesus. Brother Chuck said that involved turning from yourself and turning to Jesus. So I want to urge you.
Softly and tenderly.